a wonder in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway. And the light, no one comes to the Father except through me. May God bless the reading, hearing, and doing of his divine word. I don't know if you realize it, but it's good that Thomas asked that question, because if he had not asked that question, Jesus may not have said what he said in verse 6. He wanted an explanation. He wanted to be sure that he knew what he knew. I want to talk with you this morning, just for a little while, from the thought, trouble don't last always. And we sing that song, trouble don't last always. But yet when trouble comes, we act like it's the end of the world. We just got through singing.
Yes.
Trouble don't last always. But yet when it show up, it's as if it's all over now. But it don't last always. Because everything changes.
Yeah.
Nothing stays the same. You get up in the morning, you're happy, singing like a jaybird. And momentarily, a phone call can change your whole day, if not your whole life. But I want you to understand that whatever you're going through with this morning, my darling, whatever has been troubling you is only temporary. And Jesus gives us hope in this text. Now, to understand this text, you would have to back up and read chapter 12 and chapter 13. And now these disciples are with Jesus in the upper room. They have shared in the Passover meal. And Jesus have shared some discomforting words with them. He has announced that he would be leaving them. He's announced that one of them, Judas, would betray him. And the spokesperson for the disciples, the leader seemingly, the unspoken leader, Peter, says, well, now you're going to deny me three times right before the rooster crows three times. And the fact of Jesus saying to them that he was leaving, and it sounded like it was through death. And these three things that Jesus said to those disciples, it had to have troubled them. For 3.5 years, they have been with Jesus.
Yes.
They have saw miracle after miracle. They have seen him heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. They have seen him change water to wine. They have seen him do miraculous things, and here he's about to depart from them. And no doubt they're saying to themselves, what are we going to do now? How are we going to continue with Jesus gone? And Jesus wanted them to know that he wanted them to continue the mission that he had started now that he was departing them. And on the end, further on into that chapter 14, you'll see where he said that he must go to the Father, that he may send the Comforter, the Paracletus, the Helper, the Counselor, another Counselor just like him, that would be with them forevermore. And he says to them also, I'm not going to leave you homeless. I'm not going to leave you as an offering, but I'm going to leave someone with you that's going to be with you forevermore. They had a hard time trying, no doubt, to understand what Jesus was saying to them no more than we would also. But he says to us in this text, the main thing, the recipe for trouble is trust. The recipe for trouble is trust. The solution for trouble is trust. That's what he's saying to us. Did you notice that Jesus, everything he said, it was of the Father? The works that he done, it was of the Father? His total focus in those three and a half years was on the Father. Doing the will of the Father, took precedence for Eden. All that he did, it was for the Father. And so Jesus is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. First of all, trust God. And trust also in me. So first of all, Jesus says something profoundly. Let not hearts be troubled. Trust God. Trust also in me. This word let is the most powerful word in our lives. So since God is saying let not your heart be troubled, that must mean that I can choose not to be troubled by life experiences. I can choose not to be troubled by life experiences if I trust him. If I put my faith in him. Yes. Have you ever noticed that children do not worry? I'm going to say this again. Have you ever noticed that children, they don't worry? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. You know why? They trust parents to take care of them. They trust the parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts to take care of them. They don't worry about nothing. That grandson of mine yesterday, he said, Papa, I need to go to Books a Million. I said, what are we going out there for? I got something that I need to get. I said, I'm watching Rawhide. So he said he was kind of, you know, he said, I don't want 50 things, Papa. I just want one thing, Papa. Now, I know that you'd get me 50 things if I ask, but I just want one thing. That's trust. I know you'll get me 50 if I ask, but I just want one. That's trust. And your children trust you. So they don't worry. They don't worry about anything. They don't have no anxiety attacks. They might get upset because we don't do what they want us to do, or don't allow them to do what they want to do. But they're not worried about anything. If they pass the leap test, they're okay. If they don't, they're not worried about the leap test. You are. Oh, you want them to pass and do well. So God is saying in this word that if we trust him, we won't have to worry. And we can choose to allow things to get us down, or we can choose not to. Now, as Peter said, and I think that's the fifth chapter, he says that we can cast all of our troubles, all of our anxieties, all of our worries upon him, Christ, because he cares. That's why trouble don't last always. Because we serve a God that cares about us, that's concerned about us, and that can deliver us in whatever we are in, or deliver us while we're still in it. He said, don't let your trials, don't let your pain, don't let your grief, don't let problems get you down. All of those are emotions. And they're only temporary, and this too shall pass. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our momentary light affliction is producing. Your troubles is producing something, my darling, for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. In other words, whatever you are going through is making you better than what you are now. And you got to understand that you don't look like what you're going through. Touch somebody and say, I don't look like what I'm going through. It's just light. It's just momentarily. It's just right now. It's not going to last always. If you're on the mountaintop, it's not going to last always. You're in the valley, it's not going to last always. But Jesus will last always. You got to put your faith in him. Even in the trying hours, and realize that he has it. I got this. The Lord is saying to us, I got this. You have to trust in his presence. Trust in his presence that he will be with you in whatever you are going through. And you got to realize that the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord, and he will fight your battle. Come here, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat could come and speak to us this morning and say, yeah, we had all of those armies, Amalekites, Jezebel, we had them all warring against us, Syria. But I prayed, and we fast, and I told the Lord I don't know what to do. The Lord sent the prophet and said, get your choir together. That don't make no sense to get some singers together, the Levites and the chorals. That don't make no sense. And we got a wall to go to. They got spears. They got chariots. They got boys. And all we have is a choir. That's all you need if that's what God said get. The next morning they went down to Mount Seir and they began to praise and thank God. And while they was praising God, the enemy killed themselves. The prophet had told them the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. He fought their battle. And it took 3 days to haul away the blessings for obeying God. There's a blessing in obeying God, my darling. Even when you're in trouble, you can obey God and get blessed in your troubles. Sometimes he'll give you double for your troubles. Job had double at the end of what he lost in the beginning. All because he trusts God. You got to trust in his presence. You got to realize that the Lord is on your side. Then in verse 2 and 3, he gives us a promise. That's why trouble don't last always. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, rooms, dwelling places. And he said, if it was not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there, I've got to die, but I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, you ain't got to come by yourself. I'm going to come back and take you, receive you, to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That's awesome. That's awesome. This picture of Eastern customs was when a man's son got married, he added a room to his house. And the son and the wife came in to live. When the next son got married, he added another room to the house that son and his wife could come to live. The next son got married, he added another room to the house. After a while, he got a mansion. But each son had his own place. And so Jesus is saying, I'm preparing a place just for you. You're going to have your own mansion. Oh, you may not have had one down here, but when you get home, you're going to have a mansion. He said, because I'm preparing a place for you. And what he said, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You got to prepare yourself to move to the mansion. Those of us that moved, we prepared to move from one place to the next. We prepared to move from one house to the next. We had to box up things, found out we had more stuff than we really thought we had. Had to haul it all to the next place, set it up, found out there wasn't enough room for everything that we were moving, give some of it away, and harvest the rest of it. Put it in the corner somewhere. Had to keep moving it. Yeah. But here now, you don't have to worry about all of that. Because he's going to come and escort you to your mansion. Yes. He promised us that. Yes, he did. That you've accepted him as your Lord and your Savior. He's going to come and receive you one day. Yes. One by one. And he's taken the time, he has taken the time to prepare the mansion. So it took his death, burial, and resurrection for us to have a place to go when we cease down here. Ain't nothing wrong with moving when you move into a better place. Ain't nothing wrong with moving when you move into a better place. Ain't nothing wrong with moving when you know where you are going. Now it's bad when you don't know where you are going. Don't know what you're going to face when you get there. But you know if you're moving with Jesus, it's going to be hotty-hotty. Yes. It's going to be happy days. Yes. If you're moving with Jesus, it's going to be jubilee. Yes. If you're moving with Jesus, yes. You're going to have perfect peace. Yes. If you're moving with Jesus. Yes. Tells them, if you just trust my promise, you just trust my presence. And finally, he says, trust in my purpose. And I'm so glad Dowd and Thomas say, he says to them, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How so? How can we know the way? Jesus answered to them, you looking at it. You looking at the way. What a wonderful promise. He's saying that I'm not just going to show you the way. He told Abraham, Abram, I will show you the way. But Jesus said, I'm not just going to show you the way. I'm not just going to tell you the way. I'm not just going to write some instructions on how to get there. That's not going to give you a destination that you can punch in your GPS. He said, but I'm going to come and personally take you by the hand to get you there. I'm going to come to get you and take you to my Father's house. And we got to understand that without the way, you can't go. Without the truth, you can't know. Without life, you cannot grow. And I come by to tell you, the legislators say legislate your way out. Governments say socialize your way out. The liquor crowd says drink your way out. The tobacco crowd says smoke your way out. The gambling crowd say gamble your way out. Satan says there is no way out. But Jesus says in his word, I am the way out. I am the truth to know within. I am the life to go out and live. One Friday, the I am of the testament. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the resurrection. I am the doorway to heaven. I am the gateway to heaven. I am the way, the only way. And when you see me, you've seen the Father. He went to Calvary one Friday, where he hung, bled, and died. He died in your place, in my place. He died for your sin and my sin. He died on Calvary Hill, on the old rugged cross. He died. They crucified him before lunch. They buried him before supper. But early Sunday morning, before breakfast, he got up, all power in heaven and earth in his wounded hand. Trouble don't last always. I'm right if the psalmist said, he is our refuge. He is our strength when we're weak. He is a present help in the time of trouble. That's why trouble don't last always. He's on our side. If he's for us, who can be against us? That's why trouble don't last always. He said in his word, he said all things work together for the good of those that love God according to his purpose. Trouble don't last always. You can trust God no matter what you're going through. Proverbs say, trust in the Lord. All your heart. Don't lean on your understanding, because you don't know nothing. I don't know nothing compared to God. But acknowledge him. See, if you acknowledge him when you're in trouble, acknowledge him when everything is all right, he will give you direction. He will direct your path. That's why you can say trouble don't last always. This too shall pass. God's got it. And I come to tell you, Mount Ali, if you got trouble today, don't worry about that. There's a brighter day ahead. And if you don't have no trouble today, don't get too excited. Amen. Because trouble has a way of finding you. I guess he must be got a GPS. Because he knows where we live. And he knows how to knock on the door of your heart and trouble you if you let him. But you don't have to let him if you just trust God. Trust also in Christ. He has a place prepared for each and every one that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. Those of the churches open. If there be one this morning, we want you to come. You can come by letter. You can come by Christian experience. You can come by baptism. Just come. Come as you are. Broken, battered, bruised. Come as you are. He will fix it for you. If you be present, won't you come? We invite you to come this morning. The Lord is waiting for you. He said, if you acknowledge him with your mouth, heart and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Paul says, whosoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Peter preached his first sermon, the cry that came to them said, brothers, what shall we do? He said, repent, have a change of heart, change of mind towards sin, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins be forgiven, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. It's plain and simple. Accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Begin to walk with him daily through prayer and the word of God. Amen. Just want to be baptized. You believe in Jesus Christ. You know that God for your sins. Amen. Did you want to say anything? You don't have to. Okay, you understand? Amen. The church say amen. Justin is coming as a candidate of baptism. Amen. Thank God for you, baby. Amen. So we will baptize you the fourth Sunday. Okay? Amen. You understand what I'm going to do? All right. Jump you ready? We jump underwater, okay? I'm not going to let you drown now. God bless you. Amen. The church say amen. Oh, God. What a God we serve. Oh, wonderful he is. Amen. Thank God for Justin. She wants to be baptized. Amen. She acknowledges that she knows the Lord as her Lord and Savior. She knows that he died for all of her sins. That's it. That's it. Thank God for that. Amen. All right. Let us, brothers and sisters, let's go wash. Amen. Let me check your hand this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great, great, great. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. It's some of those portable trays on my desk. All right. Yes, God is real. Real in my heart.
Yes, God is real. For he has washed and made me whole. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Father God, we come now in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, O Heavenly Father, for being in the midst of us today, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. Yes. Thank you for your word, O Heavenly Father. That's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Yes. Thank you for the God-man, Lord, that brought the word, God. And Lord, we want to thank you for Justin that came, Lord, to give her life to you, Lord, and to be baptized, to identify with you in your death, burial, and resurrection, God. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless her, Lord, and strengthen her, Lord, in her decision, Father God. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless her parent, God, and that they will continue to teach her and